This is a 302 podcast.
I got my coffee late this morning.
Oh, girlfriend, so, I hear
you. Yeah.
I need to drink up because he went to CrossFit this morning and left me without coffee. And he's my coffee maker.
No.
Oh, yeah, sweet. I was like, how selfish.
Yeah. I need my coffee every morning.
Yeah? I could have made you coffee. Routine. I got a little espresso machine on there.
He's obsessed with coffee.
Yeah.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I had a French press for a while, and I got out of that habit, and I really need to get back into it.
Oh, we love a good French
Sometimes
press.
It takes time because you have to wait for the water and then
it's,
the steeping.
It's hard because we're not very patient people, to be honest with you, nowadays especially. So I have to work on my patience and get back into it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's worth the wait, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's so much better. Because now that we switched to home coffee, like, I feel like growing up, home coffee was, like, not delicious.
Yeah.
But now that he's, like, making shots and it's, like, he's, like, watching me videos and good at it, now I'm, like, I don't want the
You're
other
getting
stuff.
Designer coffee at
house.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
We had Starbucks the other day.
Better than that it's instant awesome. Folgers coffee that we used to drink.
Knew it.
I would drink that.
I drink that. I drink that.
I did not. But I got Starbucks the other day and I was like, it's not good.
No.
You know, but whatever. It is what it is.
So, Lauren,
yes.
You're part of Pursuit for Peace.
I am.
What position do you hold over there?
So, I am able to serve Pursuit for Peace, Inc. through being a board chair of Press and Media. So, I get to do some really cool things in helping to represent the organization well in the media and be able to secure those unique relationships and foster them.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. You practice it.
It needs an acronym.
Were you always in media before this?
Yeah. So my years of experience in my career has always been in communications, public relations, and performing arts. So being able to integrate my knowledge and experience and background into the position that I serve here is just really a lot of fun to do.
How'd you find them? How'd you get connected?
Caitlin Kuhn, the founder and fearless leader of our organization, I was able to meet her back in 2015. And in 2016, 2017, she presented this idea to me about Pursuit for Peace and what they would be able to provide to the community, especially pediatric MVPs, which are the most medically vulnerable people. And she presented this idea to me, and I thought it was remarkable being able to minister to children with severe medical disabilities and vulnerabilities, as well as terminal illnesses. And I caught her vision, and in 2017, it launched as a ministry at a local church. And after a year, the whole community caught our vision as and we were able to expand and become a nonprofit in 2018.
Very cool.
So can you dive into a little bit exactly what Pursuit for Peace does for the community?
Absolutely. Pursuit for Peace is a unique organization because it's all volunteer-based. And what we do is we serve children in need, especially with medical vulnerabilities, through therapeutic artistry. So we are able to take women and men, all different kinds of backgrounds, introduce them as character ambassadors representing some of your most favorite story book characters from your childhood. And we're able to take them and place them into settings such as hospitals, domiciliary settings, locations and venues where children are going through their terminal illness care, which is often 24-hour care, such as the Exceptional Care for Children up in Wilmington. And we're able to provide them with joy and infuse their lives with joy because they're facing such a traumatic darkness. No child should ever have to face that. And same thing with their families and their parents, their siblings, and their caretakers. So we try to alleviate their burdens and bring a little light into their lives.
That's really exciting.
That is exciting. How did you or the founder decide this group of demographics is who she wants to serve?
This really captured Caitlin Kuhn's heart when she had seen a video in particular of young college-age women doing this particular ministry opportunity in their communities, and they were in college, but she was completed with college. She had already completed her degree, and she had the vision and as well as the time and the resources and tools through supportive people and networks. And she said, I think that this is something we can do here. We could start here in Delaware. And sure enough, that's exactly what we did in 2017. It became an official 501c3, women-led and women-owned nonprofit, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And so we have the opportunity to lead through service in our community. And now it's multi-state. So we have...
Yeah, let's say you guys have grown a lot. Like we've
talk about a growth spurt, yeah. You know? And so God's been great for us and really has provided well. And we were able to expand chapters to Washington, D.C., as well as New Hampshire. So we're moving and shaking, and we're looking forward to continuing to grow.
Are you tied with churches, or is it more independent now?
We are independent as a 501c3. However, we do collaborate with all kinds of entities, churches, community group centers, government agencies, law enforcement. So we go wherever the needs are.
Okay, which so is it's really not just unique. Like this one group. It's all people that yes. are interested or have the need and want to connect.
Absolutely. Our main focus is the medically vulnerable pediatric demographic. Mm-hmm. However, we recognize that there are so many needs of children and adults everywhere, and they're impacted by that trauma, and we want to be able to alleviate that burden and restore joy in their pain and trauma.
Now, are you from Delaware originally?
Yeah, born and raised here.
Born and raised where?
Yeah,
from?
Yeah, from the Smyrna area.
Oh, that's
so
exciting.
It is. It's really, I grew up in the country, so being here on the podcast is really, really unique. I'm looking over all of this beautiful greenery in the background. But yeah, born and raised here and have been very invested in our state.
Yeah, so giving back a lot to the community you grew up in.
Yes, absolutely. I have found that there is great reward and great blessing of encouragement through serving your community. And this is definitely the entity that has inspired me to serve even more. Yeah. It's definitely stretched me in every positive way you can imagine.
Yeah. What do you think are the most challenges you've had, though?
Some of the challenges, I would say, and a lot of people are saying this nowadays, too, but it is true. COVID definitely was a challenge for us because it shifted our mission a little bit, not necessarily the mission, but it shifted the ability to access the medically vulnerable pediatrics that we serve due to hospital protocols and those types of clinical procedures in place, but we were able to leverage our knowledge in trauma, in that servanthood, and be able to turn it more outward to the community. And so we were able to experience events and opportunities we wouldn't have otherwise experienced during that challenge. And that's I think what leadership is all about, taking a problem, solving it, and launching into new experiences.
Since the pandemic, that's when you've really grown, though.
Yes, we have dramatically expanded. We've actually been able to serve since our inception over 4,000 children and their families.
Oh, wow. So, that's a lot.
That's amazing. It's a lot. And we are so excited to be able to expand and minister to more. And the one aspect that we have in our nonprofit is the Pixie Dust Package Campaign. And
what a fun name.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
That's a cool name.
Us ladies, we thoroughly enjoy putting these packages together. We have an amazing group of women and men as well that are volunteers for us. And they put together Pixie Dust packages and provide them across the country to children in need with a medical vulnerability. So some of them are housebound, others are in hospital setting, receiving chemotherapy treatments and surgical procedures. So it's really unique to be able to expand our mission that way through the mail and provide these Pixie Dust packages as well.
What's in the package? What do they get?
It's so cool because
it's a secret.
It is a secret. But the magic, a part of that magic, is customizing these Pixie Dust packages to the child's needs and interests. So we are able to communicate and connect with their families once we understand what the child needs and what the child values in their hurt, in their pain and trauma. We customize that for them. Uh-huh. And we're able to add value and add that joy back into their lives through our Pixie Dust packages.
That's really exciting. So, yeah. Like, they open it up and it's just for them.
Just for
very
them.
Catered for them.
Very catered for them. Catered for their need, for their age of as far as, you know, what their ability is with learning. Mm. It's very, very customizable to them.
Now, one of the things you guys do is dress up as different characters. Have you ever dressed up as one?
I have.
Okay, well,
I
have. Do you do?
I'm going to guess. I want to guess.
Okay. Give me a guess.
You have reddish hair.
Yes.
So I would assume Ariel. Of some sort.
Yes. So
I'd say
for
Tinkerbell.
Us,
Tinkerbell. I could see that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. You know what?
But are we allowed to use those? Are you allowed
you
to use those names?
Well, we because of copyrights and everything.
Yeah,
we're
Disney.
Very
yeah, Disney
sure.
wants
yeah.
the money.
I served as the mermaid princess.
Okay.
During my days as a character ambassador, which was so much fun. Just being able to interact with the children, yeah. sing for them. I remember one event in particular was for autism awareness. Mm. And a church had opened up their doors to be able to provide a space for us to interact with these children and also provide relief for their families and assistance. And During that engagement and interaction, there were children that ran the spectrum of autism, and so they have specific needs, and some are sensory, some are auditory, and there was one child in particular that had come up to me, and he was nonverbal, and he came up and took me by the hand, and he was probably about 8 years old. And he took me by the hand and he didn't say anything. And he brought me over to one of our other character ambassadors, our Snow Princess. And he took her by the hand, placed our hands together, and cupped them with his.
Oh, wow.
And the way, I'm getting goosebumps right now, but remembering back to this, but the way that he cupped our hands and looked up at us, it was like he was ensuring a bond of promise.
Wow.
And that's just one of many experiences that I will never forget, being able to serve in that capacity.
How long did you do the character ambassador for?
In character ambassadorship, I served for a little over a year. And then, you know, how life happens and you take different paths and directions. And eventually, I was always out on the fringes from that point forward, you know, serving in ways that I could for the organization with the season I was in. And then the opportunity opened and availed itself in January to be a part of their new board that they were launching. And I just felt in my soul that that is exactly where I need to be for such a time as this, and that this is the partnership again. So it's been an amazing experience being here and serving in this role as well.
So if there's people who want to be a part of it, what's that pathway look like?
Yes.
Because obviously there's, it could be characters, mm-hmm. but what if it's someone who's like, I don't want to be a character, but I want to be a part of it too. Like, what
Absolutely.
Do both those avenues look like?
Is there room?
Oh, there's
Plenty
more than enough
right.
room for everybody. Oh my gosh. We need volunteers. We are just exploding so much so that there are times we have to just have a timeout on our calendar with the amount of events that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we can request that each volunteer or each individual who desires to be a volunteer in any capacity, from character ambassadorship to social media management and press assistance, to sign up on our website, go to www.pursuitforpeace.org.
We'll have it linked in this too. So if you're listening, you can just click on the link.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yes. So just go to our website, fill out the application to become a volunteer, and we would love to be able to sit down with you and discuss your skill set, your potentials, your drive, what your mission and vision and values are for yourself and for the organization, and we'd love to have you on board.
What are the skill sets necessary for a character?
skill sets necessary be or very I guess much.
Or maybe another way to phrase it also is what the ones that are really like thriving in their role, yeah. what characters do they have or what characteristics do they have?
The characteristics of a thriving therapeutic artist would be very much an active listener, flexible, can adapt well, is very emotionally in tune with those around them, and especially investigatory and adventurous, because this is really going to be one of the most unique adventures of your life, being able to serve in children in this capacity with the vulnerabilities that they have, their families, their caregivers. They have very unique needs. So the best way to go about that is by being very adaptable to the character, know your character inside and out, and also the other characters, not just a part of your story, because especially when you're going and you're interacting with others, other character ambassadors at various events or hospital-like settings with children, they're going to ask you all kinds of questions about the other characters from the storybooks that they love as well. So you want to be very, very proactive in your approach to your service, and you will undoubtedly thrive in being able to serve the children in this way.
What's the general age of the children?
General age of the children, it can vary, but the majority of the children that really are invested in the fairy tale of that joy and of that magic is typically from infancy to 14, 15 years old. So that's about our age demographic for them, and is extremely diverse as well. Which is a blessing for us to be able to serve in that way for them.
Wow. How do you raise money? What are the different avenues that people can help?
So we actually have a donation link on our website that's available. We also have fundraising events. One of our largest fundraising events is the Pursuit for Peace annual gala. And this year it's actually going to be on September 30th.
Well, that's coming up. That's like the end of this month.
I know. We're coming up pretty quick. And so that is actually our largest fundraising event for these children. And we have what's called a royalty network. So the communities nominate children with different vulnerabilities to be able to be a part of our royalty network. During the annual gala, we have a special coronation ceremony for each child has been nominated.
Very cool.
Which is incredibly moving and exciting, and is, you know, if you don't have a smile on your face and have a dry eye, I would question it. But it's incredibly moving to watch them being able to be honored for their bravery and resiliency in their trauma. So that's one of our largest events. But we have numerous events throughout the year and engagements with the community. We also partner with local businesses, which is a huge part of who we are, because we love to invest in local. National is great, and we love being able to partner with various entities. But we also enjoy being able to benefit from that joint partnership within our own communities.
Mm. For those listening, they don't know where you guys are located. Where is the building that
our Castle headquarters is located in Camden, Wyoming, Delaware. And again, we also have locations in Washington, D.C. and New Hampshire. So if there are any children and that are in need in those areas, we're more than happy to serve them. And with our Pixie Dust campaign packages, we can reach even further. So we're really blessed and fortunate to be able to do that.
What's some of the local businesses you like working with? So we can give them a shout out here.
All of them.
Every single one, Megan.
Do you have any ones that have been extra supportive?
Yes. As an example, back in April, so there was something that we as a leadership team recognized. And it was something we really hadn't seen before. But once we did, it was profound. And we recognized that our volunteers, particularly our character ambassadors, as they serve these terminally ill and medically vulnerable children, oftentimes they pass away. And that is something, even a few moments of an interaction with the heart of investment that each character ambassador has into that child during that time of service is devastating. It's a devastating loss for them, and especially for their families and their caregivers. Mm. And we recognize that there is a need for healing for the families, for the caregivers, and our volunteers for Pursuit for Peace. So in an effort to help facilitate that healing, we hosted at our headquarters, Castle, in Camden, Wyoming, a Memory Garden Tree of Life ceremony. And that was back in April, and it was a privately held event for the families, caregivers, and volunteers, so that everyone could have the freedom to be together, grieve together, and begin healing together. And it was profound. We had an amazing response. Walmart in Camden, they were incredible. They donated our beautiful cherry tree that we planted on our property that day with the families.
Wow.
We also had William V. Sipple and Son donate the Memory Garden stone. So they customized that for us.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful stone by our tree. And we've partnered with so many other businesses. It's been a resounding, an overwhelming receipt of joy and feedback from them, especially when they're able to invest in these children, and not just on here on Earth, but also in eternity too. Their memory, just honoring them is profound.
That's really special.
Yes.
That's really amazing. I didn't realize you guys did that with the tree and everything.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was a privately held event, so it wasn't necessarily advertised, but it was something that we really seek to do. We seek to be a safe space for people, and especially through trauma. And in Delaware is a trauma-informed state, and the more that we learn about it, the more it just fuels our passion to serve, protect, and infuse joy into the lives of others.
Wow. That's really special.
I'm just enthralled in your story right now. That's really good.
It really is. I know as an entire team, we're all very humbled to be able to participate in this mission, because it really is a mission, and it's a movement, and people are capturing that vision for change. A lot of people, especially nowadays, they're looking for change. They're trying to figure out what's going on in the world, and we have the opportunity to bring comfort. So that's how we want to lead.
Yeah, they're bringing joy to an area.
Yes.
That's really special.
Yes.
So then what's the vision for Pursuit for Peace for the next couple years? What's the game plan?
Absolutely. The mission and vision is to continue to pursue. That is in our name, and we believe that based off of how we've not only been able to plant the seeds of joy through our chapters in our chaptered states, but also have our Pixie Dust Package campaign, we want to reach every medically vulnerable child. It's an insatiable desire to reach them. And so hopefully over the next 2, 5, 10 years, what we're going to be able to do is not just minister to every child with a medical vulnerability here in the United States, but also the world. We see our mission and vision of ministering and serving the medically vulnerable to transcend the reasons of space. We really do, and we believe that will be fulfilled. That is our purpose.
That's awesome. I like the word transcend.
Oh, I did too.
Above and beyond.
I did too.
Love it.
Sorry, my spelling vocab nerd's coming out.
Where do you think the name came from, Pursuit for Peace?
The name Pursuit for Peace was really born in times of uncertainty. There is a purpose and a mission and vision, but it's times of uncertainty and encapsulated pain and suffering and faith and joy and overcoming those fears. There's a lot that is power packed into that name. And when you endure hardness, when you endure trials and trauma and different tribulations, it enables you, at least it should enable you, to be able to recognize pain and suffering in a much more tangible way. And it should always invoke an emotion that inspires change. Hmm. And that's exactly what we believe in. We believe in putting feet to the purpose in and be active, have an active approach to change. And you can't change anything or impact anyone if you don't start with yourself first. So that's why in our organization, we strive to focus as a band of women. The majority of us are women and we're cohabitating in one place. Well, you know, and we're focused on prioritizing that personal growth and how can we close our gaps in our personal lives so that that can translate into how we serve the children of our community and the nation.
What's some of the personal growth stuff you do?
Personal growth is focused on leadership. Mm. How do you lead yourself? Mm. It's very values-based. And your leadership style, like as a for instance, what's your self-talk been like? Mm. You talk to yourself more than you speak to anybody else. So when you speak to yourself well, as an example, you're going to be able in costume to be able to speak to these children well. You're able to speak and maneuver through situations and traumas where you might be serving and that child may be in the middle of a treatment. You know, how can I flex who I am in character, knowing what I know? How can I flex myself to meet the needs of these people where they are? Children, adults. Mm-hmm. So it's a privilege to be able to learn, actively learn while doing it, to be able to lead well and serve that way.
Well, that's really amazing. So you guys get together and do this personal growth and leadership training how often?
So this is a training that this training is a facilitation in a group. Mm-hmm. So what we like to do is we have a mode of communication, which we utilize like GroupMe to communicate with one another as a team from all over. And we encourage each other. We lift each other up. We express the different needs. Hey, I need to have encouragement or wisdom in this area. Can we talk about that? We're very mentorship based. Because we believe that in order for us to lead well, we have to not just lead ourselves well, but we also have to train the next generation to do so as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just thinking about, okay, this is me, this is how I can serve in this organization at this point in time. It's thinking multi-generational. It's thinking who are we equipping properly and preparing for our future.
Oh, that's amazing. So you are, it's like an ongoing thing in the group.
Yes. This mentorship mentality of leadership is definitely an active component of our organization because we know that it's not about us. It's about them. Yeah. It's about children. It's about how we're serving. So we want to make sure we have our hearts right before we do our work.
Has that been a part of this from the beginning or is it something that's been brought in as you guys have grown?
Yes, this is something that has been a pillar of our organization since we started. Since we started as a ministry in a local church, we wanted to do things differently. And I think that's because we've witnessed poor leadership in so many different areas. And we're seeing that Agreed. A lot in our society today. So we really wanted to change the narrative of leadership. And especially as women, we want to be able to lead in that area here in Delaware. And thankfully, that's exactly what we've been able to do and achieve.
That is amazing. You know, everybody has a different, like, strength in leadership.
Oh, absolutely.
What is your strength?
That's a great question.
You're being interviewed now.
That is a great question.
Your boss is going to hear this and go, yep.
I would say something that I'm working on is the 80-20 rule.
Yes.
Listening 80%, speaking 20, and serving in a place of reflect and wisdom. Because oftentimes leaders don't act in wisdom because they're very directional. They're very, yep, this is the direction we're heading, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to dictate our way through it. And thankfully, we do not operate that way in Pursuit for Peace. We are very open, very active in our listening, and active in our service towards each other. How can we meet those needs? And I think with the trait that I'm working on, it adds value in that way because I can be able to step back and say, let's absorb it. Let's work through it. Let's take our time to surgically maneuver through that situation. And hopefully we'll be able to come together and operate in great wisdom. And that's what we strive for.
I don't like that, operating great wisdom.
I know we all need it. We definitely need it.
What made you guys pick New Hampshire as opposed to maybe like Maryland or Pennsylvania?
New Hampshire was unique because our founder, Caitlin Kuhn, she actually is from Delaware. But she and her husband and her young family moved up to New Hampshire earlier this year. So she felt led to start a chapter there. And so far it's taking off just as well as our other two. So
why did she leave Delaware?
It was a special job opportunity for her husband. Mm. So she said, I don't know exactly how we're going to do it moving away from Delaware, but we're going to figure it out. And yeah, that's exactly what we've done. So it's been a unique process being able to activate our leadership team to be highly collaborative in such various and different places in, mm-hmm. in our country.
It's like a whole different world when people are like spread out versus
together. It is,
together.
And it is a challenge keeping everyone, you know, together. And but that's a great part about our team is that we work to ensure that we're connected.
Yes, and open communication as
yes,
well.
Yes, open communication and proactive care.
So who's some of the people on your leadership team?
Like, I was just thinking
let's
that.
Give some shout out to the people who are doing some cool stuff.
Absolutely.
And what are their roles?
So we have a unique leader and a very diverse leadership team. So some of us are from the real estate background. Some are teachers. Others have military in their background. So we really have an amazing and effective team from various strengths and backgrounds. That's what makes us unique also is that we're essentially a Swiss Army knife too of knowledge and skills that range from education and healthcare to law enforcement, military. It's a profound unification of our skills.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Who do you think helps keep everybody together here in Delaware?
Wow.
Also, who runs your chapter here?
So we have Caitlin Kuhn, who is our founder and president of our organization. We also have Emily Christensen, Ashley Krause, Brooke Mitchell here, and so many others that help us keep our chapter highly intentional and operational here.
Very cool.
What do you want more people to know about? Like, if you were to spread the word, what do you want more people in Delaware to realize about what, like, who you are, what you're doing, where you're going?
We, as an entity, are highly connective. So we really encourage that collaboration and engagement, especially with businesses. If you see or know of a child in need from you know, family to church to friends, your business and work culture. If you know children who are medically vulnerable, please nominate them and connect with us, because what we can do is we have an entire team of people literally waiting and at the ready to be able to minister to the and serve these children in the community. So by partnering with you, you guys see things and are interacting with people and networking with others that we may have never met or known about otherwise.
Yeah.
So the teamwork and the partnership between us and the local businesses and entities is vital to us being able to continue our work and mission.
So identification of those who need help.
Yes. You guys are really the link to helping us identify these children.
And it sounds like working with you is actually pretty easy.
It is. Yeah. It's so easy.
Like getting in contact with you and everything.
Very much so. Yeah. All of our information is located on our website. And if you are interested in volunteering in any capacity with your skill set, or if there was a particular position or volunteer aspect in need that we have advertised, that you might say, I might not be able to serve in that area, but I still feel like I want to volunteer. I feel like I want to be a part of this movement. Contact us, because undoubtedly there will be a need in your background and skill set that we can deploy and we can utilize to grow this organization and minister to these children. So please don't hesitate to contact us.
So you want people to reach out?
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Reach out, everybody.
We need you to reach out, because we can't do this alone.
Yeah.
We're better together. We're stronger together, and we know that. And that's the reason why it's a collective team effort.
Yeah. So you're really working with the community in all aspects.
Very much so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What if they don't have any maybe medically needed kids, or they have any, but they want like a princess or a fairy tale person to come support maybe another event or a nonprofit? Do you guys do that as well?
Absolutely. We are open to, even though our mission and vision is the medically vulnerable, we have, especially as an example of how we flexed during COVID, we actually had the opportunity to do more events like birthdays, private birthday parties, and things of that nature. And that's still something that we do. And we partner with different organizations for various community events as well. So we're very accessible to every child, because regardless if they have a medical vulnerability or not, we do know that most of the time there is some type of trauma there. They may have lost a parent. They may have experienced a trauma in family, at school. They may be bullied right now, and we have the opportunity through our character ambassadorship to be able to target them and infuse them with joy that magic.
Yeah. So it doesn't always have to be somebody who it's visible.
No.
It could easily be some other struggles that a kid might be going through and needs support from characters.
Absolutely. 100%. And as we know, you know, as an example, disability is not just visible. It's invisible too. So what you may assume about a child of being, quote, medically vulnerable free, I guess you could say, there is undoubtedly a vulnerability there of some sort. And that's always to be assumed. And that's how we function in our organization. We never make the assumption that just because a child might appear to not have those types of obstacles, we always assume that they do, because they do.
They probably do.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any other things you would like us to talk on today? Because I feel like we touched on a lot.
We did.
We touched on a lot. Yeah.
We covered like everything. It was such a unique opportunity. I love it.
Do you guys work with other nonprofits?
Yes, we do. We collaborate with for-profit, nonprofit entities, as many organizations that would like to participate and partner with us, we do. As an example, with our annual gala coming up at the end of September, there are numerous businesses that have partnered with us. We have Mary Kay, We have Longwood Gardens. We have Hagley Museum, Pfeiffer Orchard. We have so many different entities that are helping to sponsor and provide us with silent auction items to be able to contribute to our fundraising. And they have no idea how much their contribution has just brought us, not just us, joy, but when you're able to see that sacrifice in action through service, it's a profoundly beautiful thing.
Very cool.
That is. Well, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you guys for having me.
It's a lot of information.
And just exciting.
But if anyone is interested in reaching out, we'll link you. Everything's going to be linked in this. So yes, they can reach out to you. They can donate. They can work. They can volunteer.
Please,
or they can more importantly nominate.
Yes.
Some people who might need some extra support.
100%. I'm looking forward to receiving all the questions, all the mail, and looking forward to partnering with everybody.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the 302 podcast. I am your host, Dr. Frank Chi, with my lovely wife and co-host, Dr. Megan Epps. We are your local nervous system-based chiropractors who have a passion for contributing to our community and giving back, as we have been so lucky to be blessed living here in Delaware. We've created this as a way to support our community through showcasing local small businesses and people who are making a difference in Delaware. The best way for you to support those who have been featured in our local Delaware podcast is to follow, share, and like us over at Instagram. Our handle is @the302podcast. If you would like to be a guest or sponsor, please visit our website at the302podcast.com. If you are interested in chiropractic care or reaching out to myself or Dr. Epps, visit our website at doverhealthcarecenter.com and send us a message. We look forward to sharing more with you through this year and beyond.